Sutala, and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. Telling him to enjoy happiness with his family. Anyway, interesting. Don't listen to that part, Woody. So, text 10. Nityam drashtas. So there's no purport, of course. Nityam drashtas imam tatra gadapanim avastitam maddarshana mahalada vastakarma nibandhanaha. The Supreme Personality of God had assured Prahlad Maharaj, you shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. No one said jai. You're all sleepy. Karma bandha, the bondage of fruitive activities, entails the repetition of birth and death. One performs fruitive activities in such a way that he creates another body for his next life. As long as one is attached to fruitive activities, he must accept another material body. This repeated acceptance of material bodies is called samsara bandhana. To stop this, a devotee is advised to see the Supreme Lord constantly. The Kanishta Adhikari, or neophyte devotee, is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. Thus, the neophyte devotee can be freed from the bondage of fruitive activities. So, Om Gada Tivananda Shah. Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmai Sigurve Namaha. So, we actually find it very surprising here that the Lord Vishnu, is not advising Prahlad Maharaj, you know, just get out of this life and go to the forest. You should just, like, renounce everything. So generally, you think, you know, a spiritualist is one who renounces everything. In fact, he's not only telling him not to renounce everything, he's saying go and enjoy with your family. And for those who are attempting to be renounced in this material world, they hear so many verses about family life in the Vedic literatures. This is Bhagavatam, you know, I can recite them all, but I'm not going to go through them all. How it's entangling, it's a knot, pretty grunty, and all these other things. And so here Prahlad Maharaj is told to enjoy with his family. So what is the reason for this? And I'll give you two reasons. One is based on the purport of the second verse we read. First reason is his family members are devotees. And so the way they enjoy is not by going to Disney World together. It's like I've mentioned many times before. You've all heard of Disneyland, Disney World, of course. Sometimes I'm doing programs in the United States and I ask the people who came from India, who here has been to Disney World? Everybody raises their hand. I said, who here has been twice, three times, 10 times, 20 times? Everybody raised their hand. This is called punak punas char vita char. And you know, you just think that there's some happiness and you just keep chewing on it. Like the gum. Did any of you ever chew gum when you were young? When I was young, we had this thing called bubble gum. We used to blow bubbles. And it was very sweet when you first have it. It's like happiness in the mode of passion. And after some time, you know, it's just gum. It's like, you know, you're just moving your mouth and there's no taste. Isn't it? You just keep moving your mouth, hoping for a taste, and it doesn't come out. That's called chewing the chew. So, Therefore, a Krishna conscious person, and certainly Prahlad Maharaj's family is Krishna conscious, in spite of being in a demoniac, gotra, they're Krishna conscious. So how will they enjoy? They'll enjoy by chanting and serving Krishna and coming to see the deities and eating prasad. I mean, just like last night, we were all together in a very nice Jairam's house and enjoying life, watching movies, love stories. Anyway, it was a love story. It wasn't wrong. But based upon Vrindavan and then eating prasadam and associating with the devotees, it's enjoying. So we should understand that. It's not necessary to give everything up. If one has the association of devotees, in fact, the most miserable thing, according to Ramananda Roy, is to be separated from the devotees of the Lord. And to be living, and the worst thing is to be living with non-devotees, like living in a cage of fire with tigers and lions and rakshasas and pisachas and bhutas and pretas. For those of you who don't know what that means witches and goblins and gruesome creatures. Just like when I was young, we'd go to see horror movies where you have like these Dracula, all these other interesting creatures, and we'd be scared, we'd be having bad dreams. But that's how a devotee feels to live with non-devotees. Of course, we're nice to everybody, obviously. We don't go around to the street and say, "Hey, Dracula, why are you sucking blood all the time?" Because they are. I mean, they're eating meat. And they're doing all sorts of abominable things. We don't say that. But at the same time, we want to live with devotees. We go out to preach, but we live with devotees. Just like if people are going to be married, they should marry a devotee. Right? Why marry someone else? Otherwise, it's such a struggle. Isn't it? If someone's not a devotee, your whole life you just have to chant Hare Krishna and they don't like it. Just like there was one lady in Australia who wants to take initiation, and her husband, he says he's so much against it, he's ready to kill her or something like that. I said, "Oh my God, who would want to be in a situation like that?" Anyway, so we should always be living with devotees and then enjoying life. That's enjoying life. You don't have to worry about things. You can get married, you can have children. Don't listen to everybody. You get married, you can have children. You can go to the park, chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam, just invite people over your home. It's so nice. Just like last night, it was just so nice. That's Vaikuntha life. Okay. So that's one reason. Another reason is given in the second verse here, that Prahlad Maharaj is freed from karma bandha or samsara bandha. That means the bondage of repeated birth or death and the bondage of karma because he has seen Krishna. So, because I guess we have not seen Krishna, have we? Yes, we have. Anyways, so we are also free. Like devotees sometimes, they talk about their karma. And as we mentioned yesterday in class, they blame their karma on so many problems. But basically, all of you here in this room, unless there's someone I'm missing, I don't see, including Nityananda, you have no karma. How can I say that? I mean, you're certainly not like Prahlad Maharaj. None of you are on that level, and I'm certainly not on that level. I'm barely on the level of Randy Kashipu, what to speak of Prahlad Maharaj. But I say that because of what we hear from the acharyas, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, about the chanting of the holy name. Of course, probably none of you are chanting purely, but you're hopefully chanting on the stage of what's called Namabash. It's very interesting. Namabash means basically there's a cloud covering between you and Krishna. Just like the other day, we were at Lambasa and the plane didn't land because of the cloud. And we were very frustrated. So we got another plane. But anyways, so there's a cloud. There's a cloud between you. It's like there's a fog. Sometimes you're driving a car, there's a fog, you can't see anything. And you have to go real slow. Especially in India, it happens like that. When you go to Vrindavan, certain times of the year, January is like that, particularly. There's a fog and you can't see like 2 meters in front of your face. And so we have this fog that's covering us. We're still chanting. But we don't really appreciate the holy names. And that's called Namavash chanting. And this, the reason for the fog, actually there's 3 reasons for the fog. If you get rid of these reasons, you get rid of the fog. One of them is called the Sat Trishna. That's it. Not Krishna, Trishna. Means attachment to enjoying the senses. Attachment thinking the material world is enjoyable. Having hope that the material world is enjoyable. I'm not enjoying now because I don't have this one thing that I need. Whatever it is. I'm not happy now because I don't have enough money. I'm not happy now because I don't have a house. I'm not happy now because you don't have a wife or a husband. And so you think all these things are going to bring you happiness. But anyway. So it's called Asat Trishna. Asat. Asat means temporary attraction to things in this world. In this enjoyment of the senses. So that's the first problem with the cloud that's covering us. And the second cloud is called Hridaya Dourbalya. It means weakness of the heart. That means, you know, selfishness and things like that. You know, I'm the center. I'm important. It's like, you know, many times people think, I will serve Krishna if I have big position. You run into this all the time, in position. That's called Hridaya Dourbalya. And that's another cloud that covers us. You know, there's lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. Krishna's right in front of us, but we just can't see him. Krishna's saying, here I am. And we're saying, no, here I am. You know, not I, but I. And then, the final one is Aparada. Aparada means offenses. Offenses against the holy name. Offenses against devotees. A devotee asked me the other day, why do people fall down? I said, generally it's because they commit an offense against devotees. That's the most serious. I mean, of course, you don't want to disobey the order of the spiritual master, you don't want to commit sins on the strength of chanting, do any of the other things. But basically, if you commit sins against devotees, it's called the mad elephant offense. Mad elephant offense means the elephant goes into your garden, destroys whatever you're growing, finished. And therefore your taste for chanting becomes diminished. Just like right now it's very easy to chant, but and the beads are not so heavy. But when you commit offense against devotees, the beads, I don't know if you know what bowling is. Do you have bowling here in Fiji? Where they have these big balls like this. Really heavy. I used to go all the time. Actually, my father owned a bowling alley. So anyway, big bowling alley. So then each bead becomes like this big. It expands. Not literally, but figuratively. And then, Hare Krishna, I can't chant my rounds. It's too difficult to chant 16 rounds, isn't it? So this is very important, not to commit offense against devotees. So anyway, so this is what's covering us. But even though all these things are covering us, we still get the benefit of Namabhas chanting. And what is that benefit? The benefit is you become freed from karma. There's different types of karma. They come in many different varieties. There's kuta, bija, aparada, prarabdha. Anyway, for those of you who don't know what that means, it means the inclination, the seed, almost mature. Your mature karma is basically what you're walking around with right now. Look in the mirror, that's your prarabdha karma. You want to understand prarabdha karma. Or you're getting, you know, you have some sickness or whatever like that, and you get gone to every doctor on the planet and nothing will help. That's your prarabdha karma. You go around the planet. Someone can help me. Actually, basically, no one can help you. Except for yourself. So anyway, prarabdha karma. So all that becomes eradicated. I mean, you got some remnants of it, but it's basically not karma anymore. It all becomes eradicated just by, chanting the holy names. Even with this cloud-covered consciousness that we have right now. It's amazing how merciful Krishna's holy names are. Isn't it? The Nama Avatar. That simply by chanting, and not only, even if you're not chanting purposefully, I mean, you could be chanting meaning Sankeka, meaning something else. You understand? You don't even have to know it means, or hela, or disregard, parihas. You could be chanting jokingly. Oh, Hare Krishna. Krishna. Just like sometimes you have the children, they're chanting just like little Jonah. And we go, Hare Krishna. She goes, Hare Krishna. She doesn't know what she's doing. Maybe she does. Sorry. But she's getting benefit from the chanting of the holy names. It's pretty amazing. So you're free from all the karma. And so you're in a position where you can actually enjoy it. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, it's being described here, he was free from karma bandhan. However, if you stop chanting, guess what? You can also become bound again. When you commit offenses against devotees, you can also become bound again. So we are so fortunate to have the chanting of the holy names, and then so we should enjoy. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, he said the temple president's duty is to make sure that everyone is jolly and eating enough prasadam. So Prabhupada wanted everyone to be jolly. And our ISKCON motto, when we do, we had strategic planning in ISKCON, is more devotees, happier devotees. And if you're not happy, then you got to do something, you got to change something. First of all, you got to associate with devotees, like Prahlad Maharaj, associating with devotees, do devotional activities with devotees, and chant the holy names. And then you'll be happy. That's our recommendation. That's our prescription. Simply do these two things. Associate with devotees. Of course, you got to follow the four regulated principles. I understand that. And avoid the association of non-devotees. And chant the holy names. But of course, the stage that we're talking about here, Namavash, should be overcome. It's not you just stay on the Namavash stage. You should be on... Namavash means basically you should be clearing. Just like we have that tenth offense. To not have complete faith in the holy names and to maintain material attachments, even understanding so many instructions in the matter. Well, it's not offensive to have material attachments, but it's offensive to maintain them, to increase them. So we should be trying our best to decrease these attachments. And the way we do that is by becoming more attached to Krishna's devotees. Because the same attachment that we can focus on a non-devotee, just like some stupid Bollywood star, you focus on the devotees. Just like you may have some big hero in the material world. I mean, I don't know who your hero is. You know, Spider-Man or something like that. Or Dog-Man or something like that. Or Super Lady or something. It's like I have one disciple. He has all these, like, heroes. These superheroes. His bead bag, he has a Spider-Man bead bag. And a... Can you imagine that? And a mobile phone, something that covers the mobile phone with another superhero on it. So, we should have role models or heroes of devotees. Like, Prabhupada is my hero. So my godbrothers were doing, like, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, who just sacrificed his life for preaching Krishna. These are heroes. Role models. And so, when we have that, then our attachments, talking about, we give up material attachments by being attracted to spiritual persons. It's all personal. I mean, of course, Krishna is the ultimate spiritual person. We're certainly attracted to him. I hope we're attracted. Just like we saw this movie last night, Radhe, Radhe, right? Everyone was chanting Radhe, Radhe. It was so nice, isn't it? Very simple, happy. They didn't have much. They just live, you know, extremely simply. The ladies had to milk the cows. They had to roll the rotis. And they didn't have rolling pins for the rotis, right? They rolled them like that with the cooking over fire. How many of you ladies would do that? None of you. Because you think your happiness means that big house and microwave oven and all these other amenities. But it's so simple, and they were happy. So the point is, we have spiritual attachments. We become attached to the Holy Dove. We become attached to the deities. We become attached to the pure devotees. Attached to the spiritual master. I mean, and we should, in this way, we give up our material attachments. It's a very easy process. And then all these, let's say, clouds that are covering us and keeping us in the Namabhas stage, then we can come to the chanting of the pure chanting, Shuddha Nama. And when you're chanting Shuddha Nama, Kavayama He Ravo Sri Vrindavan, then Vrindavan manifests itself to you. And then you can be anywhere. You can be with your family, you can be in the forest, you can be anywhere, and then you're happy. This is the secret of Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, I think we've spoken enough about that. We can take some questions, because I'd like to do questions and answers. So, Mook, you have a question?
Yes. But sometimes Ravana says, if there's an itch, you can keep itching.
Then it itches more, yeah. Yes. The Bhagavad Gita says the same thing. Kamarupena kunde dushparena lenacha. It's like throwing, Prabhupada gave the example, it's like throwing a petrol into a fire to put the fire out, yeah. That's right. The more you itch. So basically, better to stop itching. Right? I remember one time when I was young, I had this, what is it, either measles or chicken pox or something like that? You know what that is?
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank God I had it when I was young, so hopefully I don't get it again. And, you know, you just like see all these little things and you want to... And sometimes when the children have these diseases, you got to tie their hands, don't you? So they don't scratch themselves and hurt themselves. Sometimes, I've seen the parents sometimes have to do that. So we should do that with devotees, just tie them down with the hands and feet so they don't scratch themselves. I know a lot of disciples I'd like to do that with. So yes, so because when you scratch, you just make it worse and just keeps itching. So you just have to really tolerate. And that's the Vachavingam, Manasakuratavingam, Jivavingam, Udravashavingam verse. That one tolerates the push, you know, the scratching of the senses. Tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. And it gradually diminishes. But the main thing is to have some positive thing to meditate on. You know, I meditate, you know, on Prabhupada, my service to Prabhupada. You know, just, and because I'm attached to Prabhupada, it keeps me steady and safe in devotional service. You know, I wouldn't do anything that would displease Prabhupada. That's a personal relationship. It's bhakti. That's bhakti. I'm not in Krishna consciousness because I want to get liberated. I'm not in Krishna consciousness because I want to go back to Godhead. I'm not in Krishna consciousness because I want wealth. I'm not, certainly not because of that. I'm not in Krishna consciousness because I want freedom from distress. I'm in Krishna consciousness because I love Prabhupada and I love Krishna. It's all based on bhakti, isn't it? And then it's very easy. But in order to love people, Krishna, spiritual master, then one has to hear about them. That's why I do recommend devotees to read the Prabhupada Lilamrita. I think that's just as important, maybe even more important than the Gita. Because the Lilamrita is Gita in action. Of course, the Gita is also active. But it's just like the person Bhagavat. We talk about the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. Like, you know, Prabhupada is the person Bhagavat. And so you hear about his life, you can understand devotional service. I mean, how can we understand what the Gita means or what the Bhagavatam means unless we see it, or at least in the modern day world, unless we see someone who is actually coming out of the pages of the Bhagavatam? And that's Prabhupada. He's right out of the Bhagavatam. So that way, and then we develop attachment for him, we do attachment for the deities, the holy name. We have so many things to get attached to the other devotees, society of devotees. And then the itching, you don't even notice the itching. Just like if you watch a good film, even if you're itching, you won't notice you're itching. Isn't it? If you're doing something fun, then who's going to notice the itching? So don't itch. And what's the other question?
The other question is, in Bhagavatam we read that we have sinful desires, in ourselves.
Yeah.
And since you order the seed, it grows up. So then Bhagavatam says that you have to plant the seed, fry it out.
By the chanting. That's the only method of frying. Actually, that point is made in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami, how can people become free from the reactions, including the kuta, the bija, and then, of course, the corrupted karma? How can you become free? And Shukadeva Goswami first tests Parikshit Maharaj by telling them that one should engage in prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means atonement. Atonement means like you lay on a bed of nails, or you don't eat for a week just because you feel so guilty because you happen to eat boga one day. That's atonement. And Shukadeva Goswami makes that point, but Parikshit Maharaj disagrees. It's interesting that Parikshit Maharaj is disagreeing with his guru. Interesting point. When we hear one should not disobey the order of the spiritual master. But the guru is a nice test. He tells him something just to test the disciple. You know, it's like a teacher will say something. Okay, class, 2 and 2 is 5, right? No. Or I guess in medical school they'll say that They'll say one part of the body is in another part of the body. What? Teacher's just testing. And everyone, and because everyone's just sitting there, just like asleep, like in Bhagavatam class, no one says anything. I mean, sometimes I see everyone sleeping in Bhagavatam class, I can say, well, Lord Shiva's God, and everyone, nobody will argue. So, anyway, so he tested. Prakshit Maharaj was tested by Sri Gadeva Goswami. He said, no, Guru Maharaj, I disagree with that. Because it's like an elephant bathing. If one just simply does atonement, it won't work. So if you want to get free from this karma bandhana, then you have to engage in tasmat sankirtanam vishnam jangam mangalam angasam. Sankirtan, I mean, chanting the holy names. So that is the only remedial measure for this karma bandhana. Does that answer your question? Okay, anyone else have a question? Quick question? Yes, John Ron. Yes, Ambarish Maharaj is a perfect example. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindeo. You engage your feet in going to the temple of the Lord, your hands in serving the devotees and serving the deities, the eyes in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, your ears in hearing the Krishna Katha, your sense, you already did with the sense of touch, smell, the smell of the flowers, offered to the Serene Personality, Gun of the Tulsi leaves offered to the Lord. Just engage all your senses. Yeah, very good point. And you get attached to it. I mean, I'm attached to Bhagavalarti. I go every day, not because I have to, not because, you know, if I don't go, nobody else will go, which is probably true. But I like it. It's fun. If you're not having fun in Bhagavalarti, you're a rascal. If you're thinking, this is just like, oh, too much for me. The same song every day. You know, why don't we have a different song? Well, if you understand the meaning of the song, it's so ecstatic. You're glorifying the spiritual master. You're glorifying Prabhupada. If you think about how Lord Chaitanya is showering his mercy down, Mahaprabhu, Kirtana, Richard Gita, and the spiritual master is dancing and singing. I mean, when I chant these prayers, Guru Vastika prayers, I just think about Prabhupada dancing and singing. I visualize. I'm not doing it ritualistically, but I visualize my Prabhupada dancing, Nichigita. Devotees usually pronounce that wrong. They say Nichigita, but it's actually Richigita. You hear the difference? Richa, not Nicha. It means dancing, suddenly, wow. And Manasota is saying, and then the mind becomes happy. Romancha, the hairs. Not too many hairs. Especially as you get older. Anyway, so the hairs stand on end. Romancha kambhasu ashrutaranga bhajo. The tears come from the eyes like torrents of rain. So that's what I think when I'm chanting the Guruvastika prayers. I think of that, wow! Mangalarti is wonderful! It's like every morning I get to go to a dance hall. And so every day you get to eat prasadam. I know I eat the same thing every day, but because it's offered to Krishna, it tastes wonderful. People ask, you know, how can you eat the same thing every day, Guru Maharaj? I said, because it's prasadam. If it wasn't prasadam, I couldn't do it. It would be miserable. The same nuts. Isn't it? And, you know, and when I'm not in Fiji, I eat very simply. It's just quinoa soup. That's it. And I'm happy, because it's offered to Giriraj. Because love, that's love. All right, any other questions? Yes, Guru.
Like you said, the mind is to Krishna. So if there is one man asked in the said, I'm a welder.
Yeah.
Said, I'm doing welding. And if I say Krishna sent him, I'm going to get hurt.
What it means you do it, you should weld for Krishna. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagno brahmanahantam brahmatene kantavyam brahmakarmasmani. If you're doing what you're doing, you're thinking of why you're doing it, who you're doing it for. It's not that you visualize Krishna playing a flute while you're welding. That would be stupid. You'd get in trouble. It's not like you don't weld. Whoops, I welded my hand into the... So, you think I'm doing this for Krishna out of love. Just like I often give the example of people who work in the bank. And they're doing it, they're in this little tiny compartment all day long taking other people's money. It's not their money. It's a miserable job. Can you imagine, I say, you live in for 8 hours a day in a compartment about the size of this seat. And you just look at other people and half of them are angry. Especially in India, because they didn't allow it. Anyway, they had this currency shortage. And there was a line of like 2,000 people in each teller's window. But then the lady who's working there, she has a picture of her husband or her son or something like that. It's out of love. How can you be happy unless you have love? Right? I mean, you have to... Like I said again, it's the why. It's not the how or the what, it's the why. In Krishna consciousness, we should remember the why, and then the how and what come automatically. You know, why am I doing this? And I just think, you know, why am I here? To please Prabhupada. To please Krishna. And then, automatically, the what, I mean the how, I'm here. You understand? And what? I become Krishna conscious. It's easy. Krishna consciousness is the easiest thing in the world. It's hard for me. I couldn't do anything else. It'd be miserable. Okay, on that happy note, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada. Nice to see you. Sarojini Kiran, Margaret. Vrindavan Chandra is watching. Anuradha from New Zealand. Uttama Shloka. Mayapur from Hawaii. Ralabalaba, who's at home. Hari Priya. Prema is watching. Nitai Prem. Sudharma from Fiji in America. Mishi. From the UK, Sharna, all these nice.